were holding on Cup Tester's eye in onward to the roots. 10 lines from the bottom. The mission had said that the mission had talked about the difference between the different places where the Mishkan was until eventually the listening fish was built. So we said before the Mishkan was set up, you could bring Korbanos anywhere, and that led us into this whole discussion about what Bnei Noach are and aren't allowed to do in that connection. And then eventually the Mishnah had said, once the Mishkan was set up in the Midbar, then we said, Kodshim Kalim Necholim B'chol Machin Yisrael. Kodshim Kalim could be eaten anywhere in the camp of the Jewish people. In other words, that was the equivalent of Yerushalayim in later generations. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna B'chol Mekomos Yisrael. So Rav Huna says, really, the word B'chol Machin Yisrael means in all places of Yisrael. So in other words, even places. For example, you have the machne itself was in a square shape, three shvatim on each side, and then outside that you had in the corners they had the area for their animals and you have areas for the eruv rav and so right now the Gemara assumes when Rav Huna is saying b'chol makom es Yisrael, would mean even if an individual yid was to go outside the machne for whatever reason, then nevertheless he would still be able to eat kodshim kalim. So that's what it sounds like. Ava machna lehavi, it sounds, but Rav Huna says there was no machna, there was no isur of eating outside the machna. So wherever it is, Rav Huna is saying it's considered a valid place for eating kodshim kalim. But Esved of Nachman of Rav Huna, but Rav Nachman says to Rav Huna that I have a contradiction. Well, machna is not midbar lehavoi. You're telling me in the midbar there was no such thing as machnas, and you could eat kodshim kalim wherever you could take them with you and eat them wherever you wanted. But Hatanya, we learn in a Braisa, Kishem Shemachna Bamidbar, just as there was a machna in the desert, Kach Machna B'Yerushalayim, so there is one in Yerushalayim. In other words, the same three machnas that there were in the Midbar, then there were, then you have the equivalents of them later on in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim Lahana Bais Machna Yisrael, from the beginning of Yerushalayim, from the entrance to the wall until the Hanabayas is considered Machne Yisrael, so Kodshim Kalim can be eaten in that whole area. They can also be eaten in the Hanabayas, but also, as we're going to talk about in a couple of minutes, certain Tmeim have to be sent at Mitzaroyim, specifically have to be sent out of that entire area. From the Hanabayas, from the beginning of the Hanabayas until Shar Nikonor, which was the entrance to the Azara, specifically to Ezris Yisrael, Machna Leviyah, that area is considered Machna Leviyah, so the Hanabayas, as well as within it are the Chayil and the Ezris Noshim, as the Gemara is going to explain in a second, those have other statuses, those have higher statuses, but those are Dirabanan. But all that area is Machna Leviyah. So in particular, Zovim have to be Zovim and other such Tmeim have to stay out of there. Mikan Ve'elach, Machna Shchina, and from then on to once you get to the Azara, to the entrance of the Azara, Shaar Nikonor, then you're in Machna Shchina, and all Tmeim and Mechusri Kapara have to stay out of that, and that's where Kodshi Kodshim can be. The hein, kloyim shema midbar, and that exactly corresponds to the kloyim, to the curtains of the azara in the midbar. So we see then that this braisa is clearly saying that the same exact machnas that exists in Yerushalayim that previously existed in the midbar. In that case, that means there was a machne Yisrael, not like Rav Huna is saying that a person could take a korban and eat it anywhere he wanted. Says, you're right. Ella Ema, this is what Rav Huna meant to say, but you could eat the korbanos b'chol mokem machne Yisrael, in all places of machne Yisrael. Meaning, in other words, that even when they're breaking camp and taking apart the Mishkan and everybody is on the move, then nevertheless you could still take along korbanos, kodshe kodshe, that are with you as long as they're within the deadline and eat them on the way. Rashi points that out. Rashi doesn't say you could eat it on the way. Rashi says you could take it along with you when they camp in the next place. As long as it's still within the deadline, then you'll be able to eat it over there. But according to Rashi, you wouldn't be able to eat it on the way, because then indeed there's no machna. Tosfos disagrees with that point. and says they could probably, they could maybe even eat it on the way. Only kodshe kodshim would become possible, because kodshe kodshim require the mechitzas. You have to have the curtains, the kloyim of the azara, or the equivalent in the Beis Hamikdash, and you don't have that on the way, of course, because the whole thing is taken apart. But kodshim kalim, where all it requires is machne Yisrael, very well, says Tosfos, even when they're traveling, that can still be considered machne Yisrael. And therefore they'd be able to take along the korbanos and eat it with them. So the Gemara says in that case pshita. Well, in that case, isn't it poshut that anywhere that what's Rav Huna adding? If we're saying in every place that machne Yisrael, then what exactly is he adding? And that's the answer. Ma'od detaini if silu b'yotze. You would think maybe they become posel because they're going out. As kodshim kalam have to stay within the machne or within Yerushalayim. So now the machne is being taken apart. Maybe you would think that it means that now they become posel as if they've been taken out of machna altogether. Kamash Malan, therefore, Rav Huna is telling us that now. And the Gemara says, Ve'ema Hochi Nami, maybe indeed it would become posel. Where does Rav Huna know that it's not? And the answer is, Omar Kro, because the posel is Venosa Oihom Moed. The posel says, the Oihom Moed shall travel. From which we learn, Afapisha Nosa, even though it's traveling, at Oyom Moed, who it's still considered Oyom Moed, and therefore it gives the rest of the Machna, the Kedusha, of Machna Yisrael, and therefore it's fine. According to Rashi, they can't eat while they're on the move. They could eat the Kodshim Kalam, only when they get to their destination. According to Tosfos, they could eat it even when they're on the move.
Okay.
The Gemara points out, Tanya, we learn in a Braisid, of Shimon Yechoy Omer, Oid Acheres Hoysa, V'cheil Ezras Noshimhi. There was another area in the Beis HaMikdash that was called, different in Dinim than the Harabais and the Azara, which is called V'cheil Ezras Noshim. The V'cheil and the Ezras Noshim are really two different things. So Shitim HaKubetzos changes and corrects the Girsa, it should say V'cheil and the Ezras Noshim. So the Cheil was an area outside the Azara and the Ezra's Noshim. There was an area over there 10 amos wide called the Cheil. There were stairs there leading up to the Azara from the Harabais level. There was a stone fence around it, not a stone fence. There was a stone wall over there because the word Cheil basically means a low stone wall. The Mishnah tells us in Midas that also there was a sodig, there was a wooden latticework fence surrounding that area, which marked off beyond that point Goyim are not able to go. So in fact, the Mishnayos and Kalim discuss these details. The Cheil, so yeah, the Cheil is extra in the Hanabias that in particular Goyim and Tmei Mes cannot go in there. And then you have the Ezra Sinoshim, is even more so that a Tvu Yoim is not able to go in there. However, there was no punishment for that, for people who go in there betumah. Because those dinim, the fact that the Cheil and the Ezra's Noshim have different dinim, those are midrabanan. A few other places in Shas, the Gemara mentions particularly about the Ezra's Noshim when they made this rule that a Tzvul Yoim is not allowed to go in there. There are a few places in Shas where it mentions that was a takana made in the times of Yehoshaphat, one of the early kings of Yehuda. So really in the Harabais, then there were multiple zones. So in the Midbar, we're saying there were only three. There was the Machne Shechina, Machne Leviyah, and Machne Yisrael. But when the Beis HaMikdash was built, then you have several more levels of Kedusha. The Mishnayos and Kalim, Rashi refers to it, explain them. You have your Shalayim itself, you have the Harabais, you have the Cheil, you have the Ezra's Noshim, and then you have the Ezra's Yisrael. Then Rav Shimon Yechoy continues. Over Shiloh, what about when the Mishkan was in Shiloh? Loi hoi ala shnei machnas bilvad. Then there were only two machnas there out of the three. So they want to ask, Heminayu loi haba. Well, we have to ask again, which one was missing when the Mishkan was in Shiloh? Omar Rav, Mistabra, the Machna Leviyah Havoi. It's more logical to say that Machna Leviyah existed even when the Mishkan was in Shiloh, for purposes that we're going to talk about, for purposes of which Tmeim have to be sent away. But there was no Machna Yisrael. Machna Yisrael would basically be every Jewish city in Eretz Yisrael then. The Isak Daibach, Machna Leviyah Loi Havoi. Because if you're going to tell me there was no Machna Leviyah, then the problem is Nimtzu Zovim and Tmei Mesim Mishtalchin Chutz Machna Achas. Then it would come out that both Zovim and Tmei Mes are sent out of only one Machna. Because if there's no Machna, if had there been no Machna Levia, then what would it mean that Zovim and Tmei Mes are allowed to be in Machna Yisrael? They're allowed to be in the city of Yerushalayim outside the Hananias. And the equivalent in earlier times of Machna Yisrael, where the 12 Shvatim camp, if there was no Machna Yisrael, if there was no Machna Leviya, rather, what would happen is you'd have Mitzaroi, you'd have Zovim have to be sent out of two Machnas. They can't be in Machna Leviya either. Mitzaroyim, not Mitzaroyim, Tmei Mes can be, have to be outside of one Machna, Machna Shchina. So it would come out then that they'd be sent only outside of one Machna, because they're both allowed in Machne Yisrael, yet when the Torah talks about that the Tmeim have to leave the Machne, it says that they should not be Matame their camps in the plural, implying that there should be one for a Zov. The Pasuk mentions over there, called Tzorua, called Zov, called Tomei Lanefesh, everybody who has Tzoras, that would be Zov, and everybody who has Tomei Nes, and we learn from that that each one of them has a different number, the Gemara in Pesachim, has a sugya about it, where we talk about that each one has to be in a zone of its own. So 10 machna vazeh, machna vazeh, you have to assign a different machna that each one has to be sent out of. So therefore, of necessity, we're saying that the Rabbah is saying, of necessity, there must have been a machna shchina, of course, there for sure was, and the Mishkan was there, and Tmei Mes would be kept out of that. Then, in addition, there must have been an area of the city of Shiloh, which is called Machna Leviya. And the din of that would be that Zovim has to be sent out of that. But Rava says, how does that work? Elamai Machni Yisrael lo havoi. So you're telling me that when it came to Shiloh, there was no status of Machni Yisrael. Nimtzu Zovim and Mitzrayim, Mishtachon the Makom Echad. Then you have a similar problem. The Zovim and the Mitzrayim both get sent to the same place. Because the Zovim have to stay out of Machna Hina and Leviya, and Mitzrayim have to stay also out of Machna Yisrael. So it comes out they're all being sent to the same place. Yet the Torah says about a Mitzrayim that he has to dwell alone, Shalo Yeshiv Toma Achaimer, that even another kind of Tomei is not allowed to sit, with him. So how would that work to say that there was no Machna Yisrael? Tosfos points out there is a point that Karen Oda brings up that actually you could ask the same question about no even given, so then you'd have the same question, and then in addition there's also why is the Gemara even asking? You have any walled city from the time of Yeshua, Mitzrayim have to stay out of that. So there you have a place where Zovim are allowed and Mitzrayim are not. So what's the problem? So an answer would be that when there's no Machne Yisrael, then there's no din of Ayoras HaMukhofas Choyma either. There'd be no din that these walled cities that Mitzrayim have to stay out of. So therefore that would justify the Gemara's question. That's the question. So no matter what, if there was any machna missing, then you're violating the rules about which tmeim have to be sent out of how many machnas. So Rava answers la'olam kula tlosa havu. In fact, even in Shiloh there were all three. In other words, within Shiloh itself, you have the Mishkan, which is Machna Shchina. There would be an area around it, which would be Machna Leviya, and then there would be an area outside of that, which is called Machna Yisrael. We learned in the Mishnah, by the way, we're going to talk about it more, and then the next couple of Dafim, that's the Shem, that when the Mishkan was in Shiloh, they were allowed to eat Kodshim Kalim in any area of the surrounding hillside from which you could see Shiloh. So in that case, then maybe to that extent, those places have the din of Machne Yisrael as well, although there are Achronim who talk about that, maybe not. Maybe it's a special din that they were allowed to eat them, but it was considered outside of Machne Yisrael. Anyway. So in fact, in Shiloh, there were all three. So what does the Braisa mean in my life? How do you What does the Braisa mean when it said that in Shiloh, there were only two? Means the klita. Means as far as rescuing a Goyal Adam, as far as being a refuge, an asylum for the Goyal Adam. So Shiloh, the area of Machna Levia in Shiloh would not be a protection for Ritzeach the Shoydig. He would actually have to run away to actually the Ore Mikla, as opposed to what I was going to say in a couple of lines, that in the Midbar, in fact, Rotzchim could run through the area of the Levian. So that's what Gemara says. Then Miklal, the Midbar, Havoi, called to Machna Levia. So are you implying then the Midbar, the Machna Levia, the area where Levian camped around the Mishkan, was a refuge for people who killed the Shoygig? And the answer is Ain. Yes, Lahat Tanya. And indeed, we learn in a Braisa. The Pasuk says, Vasanti Lachom Lachem. The Pasuk describes in Parshas Mishpatim how people, a person who killed the Shoygig, and Hashem says, I'll make for you a place. So l'cha implies b'chayecha, in your life, that Hashem is telling Moshe, during your lifetime, you're going to have the ability to set up Ore Mikla. Because in fact, before Moshe passed away, he did. He had set up he had designated three cities at the end of the 40 years. The Torah tells us in Parshas Vayeshlach that he designated three of the six Ore Mikla, even though they didn't actually start functioning until later. So that's one meaning of Lacha. So the meaning of Lacha is that Hashem is telling Moshe that in the future you yourself will have the opportunity to do that mitzvah of designating the Ore Mikla. And when the pasuk continues, Mokim, a place, that means Mokim Cha, that means your place, Hashem is telling Moshe, Asher Yon Roshama, where Ritzeach can run away today. Melamach Maglin Bamidbar, from here we learn that Ritzeach B'Shoygeg would also have to go into Golos, even in the desert. We don't say that even though there's no Ore Mikla yet, therefore Ritzeach B'Shoygeg doesn't have any place to go. No, he does have a place to go Olahechad, Golan, so where would they go into Golos? The Machna Levia. To the Machna Levia, which is where Moshe is located. And later on, of course, also you have the cities, the 48 cities, the six main Ore Miklot, and the 42 others were all the cities of Levian as well. So that's how they worked it. So in the Midbar they had that, but in Shiloh, when the Mishkan was in Shiloh, there was no such thing. Rava is saying the Rotzchim would have to go to the actual Ore Miklot. So the Gemara continues, Mikan Omru, based on this that we're saying. Now the word Lacha is also telling you that the Levim themselves who live in the Ore Mikla, that the Ore Mikla protect them as well. But how does that work? Mikan Omru, then Levi Shaharag, if a Levi who lives in one of the Ore Mikla kills the Shogeg, go to Mipelach Lapelach. He has to go into Golas from one city to another. So he can't stay in the city where he lived until now. He has to go into Golos to a different city of Levim. The Golol of Pilchai, but if he goes into Golos within his city itself, just to a different neighborhood, Pilchai Koltai, then fine, that neighborhood will accept him and he'll be safe over there. Tosfos points out that the proper pronunciation of the word is supposed to be Pilchai, and you actually have a pasuk in Nehemiah that uses that spelling. So even though the singular is Pelach, but the conjugated form of it, meaning his Pelach, is Pilchai. So B'dieved, if he goes to another neighborhood, then it'll still work. Just like in the Midbar, where the whole Machna Levia would accept it. Tosfos suggests another point as well, that it can also mean that he is allowed to rather the vote would be that if he goes to another city, then he has this advantage. He has the entire city plus its home in which he's safe, as opposed to if he chooses to stay in a city and goes only from one neighborhood to another, he's going to have to stay in his original, he's going to have to stay in his new neighborhood, and if he goes back to his original one, then he's going to be considered like he left the Tchum, and then the Goyal Adam can get him. So according to that, the vote would be not that he had, so in other words, the point is Rashi, the vote is B'chatchila, he should go to another city, but if he went to another neighborhood within the same city, then fine. But according to Tosfos, the vote is he's better off going to another city, because then he'll have a wider area in which to be safe from the Goyal Adam. If he goes within his city, he's going to have to stay within his new neighborhood and never leave it. And by the way, a neighborhood, for certain purposes in halacha, is considered just a group of three houses, so that may well be the case over here, in which case if he goes to another neighborhood, he's going to really have a very small area within which he can move around and be safe. Okay, so the Gemara says, Mikra, where is a pasuk where we see that idea that a Ben Levi goes to, and Ben Levi can even stay with the Eved in the city where he lived until now. just in a different neighborhood. Because the pasuk says ki imikotze yeshiv, because rather he should dwell in the city of his miklat, which means the city that already accepted him, the city that he was already living in until now. He's allowed to stay in that city. And all he has to do is move to a different neighborhood. Okay, in any case, the point is that in Shiloh, so when the Mishkan was in Shiloh, instead of the Machna Leviyah within Shiloh functioning as if it was a 49th Ore Miklat, all you have is the 48th actual Ore Miklat, and there's no place within Shiloh itself that a Ritzeach B'Shogeg would be safe. You even have actually. The Gemara talks about elsewhere, based on Sukkim, that the roof of the Mizbeach is also a temporary place of refuge for the Tzeach B'Shogeg, but that would actually be, according to the Rambam, in fact, that would only work in the Beis Hamikdash, no place else, whereas Rashi elsewhere learns that the one in Shiloh would work. So there was a possibility, maybe there was a place in Shiloh where the Ritzeach B'Shogeg could find refuge, according to Rashi. Specifically, that would be the top of the Mizbeach in Shiloh, whereas according to the Rambam, that even that wouldn't work. Next, the Mishnah had said Bo le Gilgal. We said once they came to Gilgal, we had like this. We said that after the Mishkan was in the Midbar, after that they crossed the Yarden, they came into Eretz Yisrael, and they set up the Mishkan in the city of Gilgal. And we said at that point, Bomas become Mutter. So now, further on in our Mishnah, at the beginning of the Perek, it had talked about what kinds of Korbanos could be brought on a Bama, on a private Bama. So now we're going to get into that. So now we're going to get into that point in more detail. Tonan Abanan, kol nidav and nidav, any korban that can be brought voluntarily as a neder or nidava, neder where he says I vow to bring a korban, nidava where he says that this animal will, that I am designating this animal as a korban. So that would include Olas, Shlomin, Toda. So those kinds of things, such things could be brought on a private Bama. As far as the other Korbanos that are not Beneder and Adava, those would be brought on the Bama Gdola. Rashi points out, after all, Korban Pesach, for example, is considered, the Korban Pesach is sort of a hybrid. It's brought by each individual, but it's considered a Korban Sibur. But definitely, the Sibur brought their Korban Pesach in Gilgal. The Pasuk actually says so explicitly in Sefer Yehoshua. So what we mean is, in a Bama Katana, you can only bring voluntary ones. If a korban cannot be brought voluntarily, for example, a chatas, an osham, such korbanos cannot be offered on a bama. Now, nidav and nidav would also include, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, not just olus and shlomim and todis, it would also include a korban mincha, and would also include the korbanos of a nazir, as the Gemara is going to discuss soon, because after all, a nazir, when he finishes his nazirus, he has to bring certain korbanos. But the basic concept of nazirus itself is a voluntary thing that he took on himself, and therefore that can be considered something that's nidav and nidav. Give it a mayor, that's what a mayor says. I skipped a little bit, actually. So anything that was nidav and nidav, mincha and nazirus, craven babama. Now, korban mincha, which can also be bought voluntarily, and the korbanos of a nazir, which is also, to begin with, it's sorted voluntarily, craven babama, those can also be brought on a private bama, divrei meir. That's what a mayor says, because, again, those things are all voluntary. So according to the mayor, the rule is anything that could be brought voluntarily, as far as korbanos yachid. Now, again, as far as the korban pesach is considered to that extent a korban sibur, and therefore they brought it even in Gilgal. Even a mayor would have to agree to that. During the period when bamas were mutter, and each person is bringing a korban on his bama, on his own private bama, only olus and shlomim can be brought there, as we learned in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda had said, there's no mincha by a bama. So now the chachamim against the mayor are saying the same thing. The mincha can't be brought there, and the korbanos of a nazir can't be brought there either, because it has only oilus and shlamim. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a kol shat tzibur v'ayochad makrivim v'ayom moed shalom midrash. Rabbi Yehuda says no. The rule is anything that the tzibur or the individual could have brought in the mishkan and the midbar makrivim v'ayom moed shalom Gilgal, they're able to bring the same korbanos in the ayom moed in Gilgal. So all korbanos, whether they're nedarim, nedavos, whether the things that have to be brought at a particular time or things that have to be brought but there's no particular time. So in other words, now the point is, Rashi explains, Rabbi Yehuda understands Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanon to be saying that certain obligatory korbanos cannot be brought even on the Bama Gdola, according to the Chachamim, and according to Rabbi Meir, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, the rule is any korban can be brought on the Bama Gdola in Gilgal. You want to talk about what the private person can bring on his own Bama, then you have rules about that, which ones could be brought. But the implication is. But however, anything could be brought on the Mizbeach in Gilgal, implying that Rabbi Yehuda had heard Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim saying that no, that we hold that even certain korbanos tzibur could not be brought in Gilgal. I think Gemara is going to go and work it out. So the Gemara says. So the Gemara continues. Well, on a point, if you hold a ma ben oil marriage of a midbar, the oil marriage of a Gilgal, the ben oil marriage of a Gilgal. Well, then, what is the actual difference? What is the actual difference then between the time when the Mishkan was in the midbar versus when it was in Gilgal? And the answer is oil marriage of a midbar. I hear bamas makaris. That's the difference. When the oil marriage was in the midbar, you could not have private bamas. Any korbanos you wanted to bring had to be in the Mishkan. Oil marriage of a Gilgal. How you have bamas makaris. But once the Mishkan was set up in Gilgal, then bomber samutir, as we talked about a few days ago at the beginning of the parak, during the time of Gilgal, the Oren was not permanently in the Mishkan, because sometimes it would be there, sometimes they'd be taking it to battle, and at times like that, then it's considered a bomber gdola, and therefore you're allowed to make private bombers in other places. However, as I said, so Yehuda continues, however, if a person builds a private bama at the top of his roof, the only thing he could offer on it are olos and shlamim. So he agrees, in other words, he agrees with the other chachamim that only olos and shlamim on a private bama, unlike a mayor had said also menachos and korbanos of a nazir. However, he's saying the difference is you, the mayor, and the chachamim hold that even public korbanos, there are certain restrictions what can be brought in Mishkan and Gilgal, and I say there were no such restrictions. The Chum say no. The rule is, so the Chum say kol shat tzibur makrivin ba'oil moed shem midbar. Fine, like Rabbi Yehuda says, whatever the tzibur could bring in the oil moed in the midbar makrivin ba'oil moed shem Gilgal, they can also offer in the oil moed in Gilgal v'kan like korvu yochid el oil shlam belvad. However, the Chum say no. The difference is that both when the Mishkan is in Gilgal, when a private person is bringing korbanos. Whether it's on his own private bummer or whether it's on the big bummer in Gibran, either way, he can only bring an oiler and a shlomin. So now we seem to have two different sets of chachamim. First, we said that a yochin can bring only oilers or shlomin, and now the chama also saying the same thing. So the Gemara is going to explain soon what the argument is between them. So far again we have as follows. We have the mayor saying that even private people could bring many different types of korbanos on their private bama, oyla shlomim mincha and the oyla shlomim toida mincha and the korbanos of a nazir. According to the Yehuda, no. And the mayor says as far as the tzibur, they can bring everything on the big bama. According to Gilgal, according to the Yehuda, according to the Chachamim against the mayor. Everything the same, except that on a Bamas Yachid, you can only bring Erlus HaShlomim, not Menachas and Nazirus. According to Rabbi Yehuda, according to both of them, the Tzibur cannot be bringing certain Karbanas on the Bama Gdola. According to Rabbi Yehuda, they can bring all the Karbanas on the Bama Gdola. A Yachid can bring only Erlus HaShlomim. And according to the Chachamim, we're saying that, and according to the Chachamim, seem to be saying much the same thing, but they're saying a Yachid can bring only Erlus HaShlomim, as the Gemara is going to work out soon. Now, yet another opinion, Rabbi Shimon Reb Shimon says yet another explanation. Rashi explains that all of them so far are saying that when it comes to the Tzibur, there's no difference between the Midbar and the Gilgal as far as the Bama Gdolah. Reb Shimon now is going to be saying that even the Tzibur, there's only certain Korbanos Tzibur that they could bring in the Bama Gdolah. Reb Shimon Omer, Ach Tzibur lo hikrivu ela psachim. Reb Shimon says that even the Tzibur, during the time the Mishkan was in Gilgal, they could bring the Korban Pesach, because of that we see clearly in the Pasuk that they brought, and other required Korbanos that have a fixed time for them. So, for example, the Tmidim, the Musafim, but for example, not the Parahelim Davashot Tzibur, or the Seiri Abadizara, or other such things like that are unscheduled, which those are Korbanos Tzibur. However, there's no particular schedule for them. Therefore, Reb Shimon disagrees with all the previous Tanoim and says that even the Tzibur could not bring those in Gilgal. Tosfos points out that the Gemara is going to mention later on, according to Reb Shimon, even and no chatois could be brought at all. So never mind unscheduled chatois, even the scheduled ones couldn't be brought. Tosfos goes on to discuss. We find, for example, that Shalom was a Nazir, and he brought his korbanos. So Tosfos discusses how that would fit according to the different opinions over here, whether a person can bring his private korbanos or not. Is that considered nidav and nidav? Anyway, the Meshech Chochma points out a very interesting idea over here. It comes out that according to most of the opinions over here, a yochid could not bring korbanos choyva. We're saying so far, according to all the opinions over here, except for Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is saying on a private bama, a person can bring only an oil and a shlomim, but according to him, a yochid could bring his obligatory korbanos, his chatoris, hashlomis, etc., could bring them to the Mishkan and Gilgal, but according to everybody else, he couldn't even do that. So now, an interesting point is, it comes out, therefore, that from the time they set up the Mishkan and Gilgal, until they set it up in Shiloh during those 14 years, and likewise also during the 57 years after Shiloh was destroyed and the Mishkan was in Noiv and Gibeon, it comes out that anybody who was a Mechusa Kapara, a woman who gave birth, a Zava, etc., could not bring their Korbanos and be able to eat Kodshim again. And based on that, he explains Psukim in Divrei Yomim that say that in the times of Yoshiyahu, they made a tremendous celebration of the Korban Pesach, such as they had not done since the time of the Shoftim. Now, that they didn't do it up until that time in the time of the kings, we can basically understand, because from the time that Yerovam set up the Egel Hazav, the Aseres HaShvatim were no longer coming to the Beis HaMikdash. Some of them came in the time of Chizkiah, the Pesukim described in Divrei Urdu and Divrei Yamin, but many of them did not. In Yoshiyahu's times, all the Jews who were in Eretz Yisrael are under Yoshiyahu's rule, and so all of them came. But the question is, what do you mean from the time of the Shoftim, and in the time of Dovid HaMelech, they didn't bring a mass Korban Pesach? And so he explains that's what it means, basically, that because in those times when Boma Samutr, according to the majority of opinions over here, there were many Mechusrei Kapara who could not bring their Korbanos and therefore could not eat Korban Pesach, as opposed to Yoshiyahu's times, it's the first time in hundreds of years when everybody is coming to the same place and they are able to bring their Korbanos and Mechusrei Kapara, and therefore they're able to eat the Korban Pesach. So that's what the Pasuk means by highlighting that there hadn't been such a thing since the times of the Shoftim. Okay, so fine. Let's go through the different opinions and explain why each of them holds what he holds in terms of what Korbanos could and couldn't be brought on the Bama Katana versus the Bama Gdola. So my time is at a mayor. Why does your mayor say that? So again, to recap, Reb Meir had said, the rule is you can bring any Nidorim or Nidavis on a Bama Katana. So that includes an Ola, a Shlomim, and a Toda, which is a type of Shlomim, as well as, Reb Meir would say, also Menachas, and also also a Korban Mincha, and also the Korbanos of a Nazir. So where does Reb Meir get that from? So like this, the Amakro, the Pasuk says, Moshe tells the Jewish people, Loi Sasun, Kechol HaShar Nachno Oisim Poi HaYoim, you will not be doing, Loi Sasun can be taken as a lab, and a few blocks ago, we did learn that an explanation that it does constitute a lab not to bring Korbanos, not to bring certain Korbanos, where you're not supposed to, even when Bama Samutr. In any case, here the Pasuk is talking, Loi Sasun, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, you will not be doing Kechol HaShar Nachno Nachna Oisin, Poi Hayoim, as in accordance with everything that we're doing here today. And the pasuk continues, Ish kala yosha be'enav, everybody what's right in his eyes, which means Omalahan Moshe Yisrael, means that Moshe is telling the Jewish people, when you come into Eretz Yisrael and you first set up a Mishkan in Gilgal, then the rules for bringing korbanos are not going to be the same as they are now. Yeshores takrivu, you will be able to bring korbanos that are yosher be'enav, that a person sees and that a person finds it right in his eyes to do, namely korbanos that are brought by Nedu and Adava. Chovas loy takrivu, but you will not be able to bring chovas because those you won't be able to bring. As long as the Mishkan is in Gilgal. And that means you won't be able to at all until you come to Shilai, as the pasuk continues. Kile vasem ad alta, ela menucha, you have not yet come to the menucha, which we're going to learn later on, we're going to learn in the next couple of blocks, refers to Shilai. So Moshe is telling them, you should know, when you first come into Eretz Yisrael, there's going to be different rules. Right now, you can bring any korbanos, whether the ones that's yosher be'enav, whether the ones that are good in your eyes to do, or whether ones that you're obligated to, but when the Mishkan is in Gilgal, you're going to have a suspension, you're going to have a period when you're not going to be able to do those, only the voluntary ones. Says the mayor, Menachos and Nezirus, Yeshoris Minu. Well, Menachos and Nezirus are in the category of Yeshoris, because you can bring a mincha voluntarily, and a nazir also brings about his Nezirus on himself voluntarily by making the neder of a nazir. Therefore, the pasuk is implying, says Reb Meir, that those korbanos could be brought when the Mishkan is in Gilgal. Tosfos discusses over here that, we're going to talk later on about Menachos. There's also birds. It comes out that the mayor here was saying the mayor allows you to bring a mincha on a bummer. Then he would also say that you can bring birds. Meanwhile, according to the mayor, you could bring both of them. Actually, Tosfos has some questions on that. Anyway, fine. So that explains the mayor's opinion. Rabbanan, where's the Rabbanan answer to the mayor? No, a mincha b'bama. There cannot be a mincha by a bama. Because they learn as the Gemara is going to explain that the pasuk is implying that you can only do zvachim on a bama, not menachos. Zvachim means korbanos that are shechted. Therefore they hold that menachos are excluded from being brought on a bama. This is as far as the bama chana, as far as the bama gdola, the actual mishkan. We'll talk about that later. Therefore the chum says, as far as menachos, you cannot bring them on a bama, and as far as nezirus, chovas ninu, and the korbanos of a nazir. Or in fact, Rashi brings at some length over here how we know how the chamno ain mincha b'bama. The psukim describe in Achrimos that you have to bring your korbanos in the mishkan. You cannot just shech them anywhere you want. And we learned earlier in our perek and in the previous perek about there's a difference between whether you are makdish them when bamas are mutter and then you're offering them when bamas are osir, etc. And the pasuk says the pasuk mentions they should shech. So therefore, we learn this, Torah's Kohen, and brings that the same rule applies to Olus and to Shlomim, but not Chatas and Osham, because it has to be Benedir and Adava. So the Chum are saying, listen, it says Zvachim, that means only Korbanos are Shechted, not Menachos. Your mayor does not hold of that diuk. So the Chum answer back that Menachos you can't, because we learn the word Zvachim to mean specifically Zvachim and not Menachos. And as far as Nezirus, you're arguing that's Nedava. If not, it's considered a Choiva, because the fact is, at the end of his Nezirus, he's required to bring these Korbanos. Yes, the Nezirus itself came about voluntarily, but the Korbanos themselves are an obligation. So that explains your mayor's and the Chum's opinion. So the Gemara says, Amashmul, machlokas b'chatas v'asham. So the machlokas, your mayor and the Chachamim, would be as far as within the korbanos of a nazir itself. Now, a nazir itself, it depends. When he finishes his nazirus successfully, he brings three korbanos, an ola, a chatas, and a shlomim. If he becomes Tomei, then he brings an Ola, a Chatos, and an Osham, and then he has to start his Nezirus over again. So now, within this opinion of Reb Meir versus the Chachamim, as far as which Korbanos and Nazir can bring, which ones does the Machalokas apply to? So Shmuel says, Machalokas, Chatos, and Osham. The Machalokas would be, as far as the Nazirs, Chatos, and Osham, that a mayor holds that he could bring them, because after all, the Nazirus itself came about the Neder and the Dover, and the Chum say that no, but the Ola that he has to bring either way, and the Shlomim that he brings when he successfully finishes his Nazirus, everybody would agree, everybody would agree that those are voluntary Karbanos. There's an Ola and a Shlomim you can bring any time, the Karavi, and therefore even the Chum would say that you do bring them on the Bama. However, the Gemara says mostly Rabba, but Rabba says that I have a contradiction to Shmuel from Braisa. A Braisa says Chos of a Shoik, the breast and thigh of a Shlomim or Toida, which are waved and then given to the Kohen, or Trumas Lachme Toida, and the parts that are, and the loaves that go with the Korban Toida that are separated off and given to the Kohen. We'll learn in Menachos Bez Hashem that there are four types of bread that come together with the Toida. 30 of the loaves are matzah, 10 of them are chametz, and then you take one of each type and wave them and give them to the Kohen. So those things, the Braisa says, Nogan, the Bama Gdola, all those things apply and can be done by the Bama Gdola, by the Mishkan, when the Mishkan was in Gilgal, or Nogan given, they're in Nogan, the Bama Ktana. However, they don't apply by the Bama Ktana if you're bringing these Korbanos on a private Mizbeah, then you don't do these things. Rashi points out, because the passage says La'honif tinufal Hashem, that you should wave them as a wave offering to Hashem, implying only when you're doing it by Hashem's mizbeach, not by your own private mizbeach. So now Tosfos points out why don't we say you don't wave them, but you still have them by the bama. But you would say that once there's no tnufa, then they don't have at all, as opposed to the mincha. There are minchas that are waved, but basically the mitzvahs with a mincha are not so much to wave them, but rather to do the knitza and the burning of the koimetz on the mizbeach. And therefore, again, according to the Chachamim, we disagree with Rabbi Yehuda and say a mincha can be brought on a bama ktana. Then fine, there's no problem bringing a mincha, even though you don't do the waving, because that's not the main part of the mitzvah, as opposed to by the chos of a shoik, when the trumas lachmei toida, the main thing is to wave them. If there's no waving, then those dinim don't apply at all. On the other hand, the Braisa is saying that this concept of trumas lachmei toida and chos of a shoik doesn't apply by bama ktana. Now the iluzroya b'sheila shaira. Now the Braisa did not mention the cooked foreleg of the ram of the Nazir. When the Nazir brings his korbanos and when he finishes his nazirus, one of his korbanos is a shlomim. Specifically, that shlomim has to be a ram, and then the pasuk describes how he cooks the whole ram, and then the kohen takes the cooked foreleg of it and they wave it together with the other pieces, and they give that to the kohen as well. Now the Braisa did not mention that. So, if you were to say that Reb Meir and the Chacham argue even about the Nazir's Ola and Shlomim, then we can say Hamani Rabbanani. Then fine, this Braisa goes according to the Rabbanan. They don't mention the El Nazir, because there is no El Nazir by a Bama in the first place, and therefore there's nothing to talk about as far as the leg of it being given to the Kohen. But if Shmuel is saying that they're arguing only about the Chatas and the Oshem, and they both agree that the Ola and the Shlomim of the Nazir are brought even by Bama Ktana, Halmani, then who would this Braisa be like? There's no reason to say that we should be waving that leg of the animal, because if we're not doing waving of Chos of a Shoik, we're not going to be doing the waving of that leg either. But according to Shmuel's understanding of Reb Meir and the Chachamim, we would say the Shlomim is being brought, and therefore it's being cooked. And what's going to happen with that leg? Doesn't that imply, therefore, the fact that the Braisa doesn't mention it, that there is no korban of a Nazir on a Bama Ktana at all, even the Ola and the Shlomim? So Gemara says, you're right, Eli, it's my hachi, it's my... Rather, if it was said, then here's how it was said, the other way around. Amar Shmuel, machlokas ba'ola u'shlomim. Rather, the machlokas, Reb Meir and the Chachamim, is as far as the Ola and the Shlomim. So according to the Chachamim, no shlomim of a Nazir are being brought And therefore, there's nothing to talk about as far as the leg, and therefore the Braisa doesn't mention it because this Braisa is according to the Chachamim. Tosfos then wonders again, Tosfos had mentioned earlier on the Amud about this matter of Avshalom being a Nazir, and that he was going to go bring his Korbanos. According to this way of looking at it, Avshalom lived during Avshalom's entire life was during the time when Bamos are Mutter, because he was a son of David, and he was killed in battle in his rebellion against David a few years before the Beis Hamikdash was built. So during his entire lifetime, Bamos were Mutter, and yet we find that he says to David, I want to go and bring my Korbanos of a Nazir, and he uses that as an excuse to get out of the city and start his revolt. So if a Nazir is not able to bring this Korbanos at all, then how would that work? Tosfos leaves the question open. Then Mefarshim also talk about a few other places in Psukim in Sefer Shmuel where we find things involving Korban and giving the cause of a shoik. So we find actually at one point the Chaz of a Shoik was of a Shlomim was set aside, but it was actually given to Shol instead of being given to the Kohenim, because again by the Bamak Tana, which is where this was, then that din of Chaz of a Shoik doesn't apply. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara, therefore, so Shmuel is saying that according to the Chachamim against Rameh, even the Ola and the Shlomim, the Nazir, cannot be brought during the time that Bamas Amutar, all that can be brought. And according to them, nothing of the Korbanos of a Nazir can be brought, whereas according to the Meir, the Ola and the Shlomo could be brought. Aval b'chatas v'osham, when it comes to his chatas and osham, divrei hakol chovis ninu, then we would say, according to everybody, they're considered obligatory Korbanos, v'lo karvi, and therefore even the Meir would agree that they're not being brought on a private bama. So far we have the Meir's opinions and we have the Chachamim's opinions, and then we're going to continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and we're going to analyze the rest of the opinions in the Braisa and see where each of them gets their respective opinion about what Korbanos can and can't be brought during the time when Bamos are Mutter, and which ones can be brought on private ones versus which ones can be brought on the public one, the Mishkan, located in Gilgal or in Neuven Gibbon.